I know. I don't think I've ever sent anyone dick pics other than you. It's interesting.
I really would like to get off the mailing list if you can somehow just wedge me off there. Please find someone else.
You're my outlet.
It just doesn't look right. It doesn't look healthy. It looks like a cadaver's dick would look.
Well, I mean, why would it look healthy? It's under the covers and asleep, really. It's not at attention.
Yeah, but it's discolored. It looks jaundiced. It does. It doesn't look well. I think you need to get it checked. Do they have any doctors out there? Is it like Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, going to come pay a visit to the Hudson Russell compound?
They only have shamans out here. There's no actual medical doctors.
Well, good. Now you're in luck because those are the best to check on broken, jaundiced dicks.
Chinkui.
I can't. I watched 3 minutes of the new Borat movie, and now I'm all back in. I'm back in. I was so into that HBO show when it came out, and I think I actually like Ali G better.
Yeah, Ali G was unreal.
And his interviews?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Borat thing is funny for a while, but the Ali G thing, you know, interviewing C. Everett Koop, interviewing, you know, anybody. It was just unbelievable and so different than anything that I had seen on TV. Now I feel like it's kind of played out, all the characters.
No, I know. Well, he almost had to write in his narrative with this new one that he had to become like an American so he could be in a different disguise because, you know, the best. Did you see the part where
I've seen 3 minutes? You know, than 3 minutes. He hasn't even left Kazakhstan. He just found out that he's got a non-male daughter who is watching some animated movie called Melania. I mean, it is about as brutal a takedown of a president as you can possibly put together. And there's just his ability. It's got to amaze you as an actor.
Oh, yeah.
And it amazes me as an interviewer, a professional interviewer at times in my life, to be able to hang in there and not react, either not laugh because his stuff is so funny, or play this out to the point where you feel like he's going to get killed, literally killed.
Oh, yeah. He puts himself in dangerous situations.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, they're like life and death shit sometimes. It's scary.
Yeah, because he's like right in a hornet's nest of everybody that he's making fun of, and he's doing it in a way that if the light ever goes on for what's actually happening for these people, they got to go, mm-hmm. Okay, you're not getting out of here now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come here, Borat. No, your name's Borat, huh? Get over here.
Well, I wonder how much is actually set up. You know, there's got to be some setups, obviously.
We're smarter than that. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, but it's funny. This one specifically was all about, like, the election and, you know, taking Trump down and the whole thing. I mean, that's literally what the whole thing was about.
Is it more than, am I going to invest more than an hour and 30 minutes into this thing?
No, that's it. It's short. It's fun. You know, I mean, it's hard to beat the first one because no one knew who the hell he was, you know. Now, people know who he is. I mean, there's shots of people running, chasing him down the street like, oh, my God, it's Borat. You know, like he's Borat is a celebrity himself, you know.
But like, you need to do that with your OTG, your off the grid guy, your alter ego that just disappears from mm-hmm. time to time. You just couldn't pull it off. I think you had the makings of something really special.
I did. I just let it go. But it's snowed like 100 feet here. Look at this.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. I was golfing 2 days ago, and then it just dumped. Like 16, 18 inches, and now it's 12 degrees, and we're in fucking winter. But I come home in 2 days.
You go back to LA?
Yeah, I'm home.
I don't know what home is for
I'm
you.
Home. LA. I mean, you know. So you're done, dude. One sport down, one to go.
It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to have the World Series behind me. You and I are talking on Wednesday, which would have been the day of Game 7. Instead, the series ended in 6 last night, and it was a great series. It was everything I wasn't sure it was going to be. If you had talked to me in August or even early September, I would have said it was going to feel hokey. Because it's a 60-game regular season. And I said this on the air, and I believe it. That World Series felt like all the 23 I've done. That felt like a legit. It was the best team in the AL, best team in the NL. They both got to the final stage. It was a knockdown dragout. It went 6, not 7. But it was a memorable World Series at the end of a year where when I was out there in Colorado – remember when, you know, we've talked about this before, but Miami had an outbreak and then the Cardinals had an outbreak and you thought, well, this is just a house of cards. They're not going to get to the end of the season. And I'm thinking, man, is sports going to even happen? And now here we are able to look back on a World Series. And yet the game ends last night.
Yep.
And Justin Turner, who's heart and soul of that Dodgers team, comes out in the, I don't even know, I could get my book out and look at it.
Eighth?
Seventh or eighth. I think it was the top of the eighth. And we thought, I said on the air, you know, we'll find out if he got hurt. I mean, it's just an odd, nothing happened, and all of a sudden this guy's out of the game. And then you find out minutes after the World Series ended that he tested positive for COVID.
It's so weird.
It is really weird.
Like, when did they test him? And all of a sudden, you know, his results come back and the bottom of the seventh? You're like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah. If you're testing, I would assume you're testing to see that the guy can play that night.
Right.
But the results don't come back until the seventh inning or eighth inning and they yank him out of the game. So I get tested every other day, and Fox has employed, I don't know who the service is. I think it's out of L.A., they come and they test our entire crew, which is over 100 people, probably 200 people. Mm-hmm. And we file through and they do the nose thing, you know, with the Q-tip. Mm-hmm. And then depending on where you are in line, it can take an hour to get the results. But okay, so it takes an hour. So at what point are you testing these guys? Or is our system somehow better than Major League Baseball's? And it's the same for the NFL. We get there, we test, and we have to wait to see if we can go in. But the results are semi-immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand. I can't wait to hear more because I haven't read anything about it. And the unbelievable thing is we're walking out, and John Smoltz says, we're getting in the elevator, he goes, oh, my God, if the Dodgers didn't win it tonight, or if it didn't end tonight, depending on, it doesn't matter who wins, and somebody comes back positive in Game 6 and there is a Game 7, when would they have played Game 7?
Oh, that's it.
I mean,
yeah, like in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, I don't know. I mean, you would have to clear it out. They're in a bubble. You have to test everybody. You have to start the process all up again. I don't know, is it 2 days? Is it 2 weeks? Is it? But that would, you would have been waiting for one more game in a Game 7, which is the best. There's nothing like a Game 7. And there would have been so many unknowns. And who knows in the calendar when they would have put it. I don't even know if I would have been there. So, it's just,
I don't know, unreal. Man. Something's fishy in Delaware. Is that the saying?
Denmark?
Oh, Denmark, yeah.
I don't know.
Not Delaware.
Whatever.
But Delaware, too. Something's a little fishy in Delaware.
I don't know. It would be weird for if something to be fishy in Denmark or Delaware and have it actually come out that immediately. I feel like if there was a cover-up or something, and I am no different than, I have known nothing about this, that it would have taken more than It wouldn't have happened immediately. It's just odd. The whole thing's weird.
How about this? Is it possible that, like, I don't know, in the fifth inning, Turner's like, I don't feel great. And then they test him and the results come back by the top of the eighth. Is that maybe a possibility where
maybe, yeah.
He got tested, was negative, and was like, I'm feeling a little weird. I feel kind of fevery. And he's like, oh shit, takes the test. And then I don't know.
Could be.
It's just a weird, the timing of it is so strange.
But it would be so abnormal for a professional athlete to feel feverish and then say, will you test me? Maybe I should come out in the middle of game six of the World Series. I don't know that makes sense, but I don't know. The whole thing is strange. I can't wait to hear more about it. I feel bad for baseball because baseball actually did, all sides of it did a hell of a job of presenting this and getting it to the point where you can even have a World Series in the regular season, getting through that. Getting through the Marlins and the Cardinals issues in the postseason, doing a bubble and getting to game six. Mm-hmm. They did an unbelievable job and they did it really well. And then for that to be the walk away, you know, maybe it's just the great reminder that you just, it's impossible to control this thing. And, you know, we'll just,
or it was a fucking, you know, false positive. I mean, that happens all the time now.
Yeah.
You know, happens all the time. So let's hope that that's what it was. But he was on the field for the picture, you know, which sort of.
I just read the headline before you and I jumped on this thing saying that the other Dodger players demanded that he be in the picture. I mean, they love him. Justin Turner has been kind of the one guy that's been there this whole run of eight straight division titles. I mean, he got there in 14, so 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Yeah, I mean, he's every all but one. So is it sad that I had to use my fingers to count that up? But I...
By the way, I still use my fingers all the time. I mean, to count. It's just part of who I am, I think.
Yeah, I said this maybe on our podcast the other day, but it is true. Like, I'm looking up feverishly during the game in a postseason media guide, like let's say Pete Fairbanks comes in. That's not a good one because that's an easy one. But let's say it's Yoshi Tsutsugo, which starts with a T. And I rip open the book to find his name as fast as I can. And, okay, so I'm in the S's. Does T come before Q-R-S-T? Okay, it comes S-T, after the S's. S-T. And yeah. Then I get there. Like, I'm 51. I still don't know that. That's sick.
Yeah. It's normal, dude. It's. I think everyone needs to go through the alphabet to find out where the later letters are. You know what I mean? When you're getting into the Q-R-S-T-U-Vs, that's when it gets a bit confusing. Yeah.
Because
W-X-Y-Z, you know, it's the Q-R-S-T-U-V section that really, I think most people wouldn't admit, but probably are relating to this right now, that they just have to go through the alphabet to find out the right letter.
Because as I'm telling Wyatt and Blake all the time, I know we're singing the alphabet, but those are actually letters. You know, especially like L-M-N-O-P, it sounds like a word.
Right.
L-M-N-O-P.
Yeah, L-M-N-O-P.
So it's, you know, and you kind of blow through the Q-R-S-T-V.
S-T-V. W. No, wait a minute. A-B-C-D-G-G. H-I-J-K, and then becomes the whole word.
Elementopy.
Q-R-S-T-U-V-W-X-Y.
Yeah. So I think kids really are, because of the song, are done a disservice. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I mean, my daughter's, she's seven, Rio. She's doing a Spanish class, you know, for school, and it's called Rockalingua or something, and they're teaching you Spanish through song. And she knows all of these Spanish songs, but I'm not sure she has any idea what the hell she's saying.
Right.
I mean, she sings numbers in Spanish, like uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, and I'm like, what is cuatro? She's like, I have no idea. Yeah. I mean,
great school.
It's just part of this song.
Great school you got there. Yeah, I remember in my Spanish class, the Spanish songs are, Was she singing La Cucaracha?
No, it was
La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha. La Cucaracha. Ya no puede caminar porque no tiene, porque le falta.
Que no tiene. La Cucaracha, ta ta pe.
No, this is your part. No. This is your part. All right, I'm going to sing it. It's La Cucaracha means it. The cockroach.
Yeah, yeah,
La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha. Ya no puede caminar. I don't know.
That means I don't want to eat.
Okay. No.
Or that's comer.
Yes. Porque no tiene, porque le falta. And then you change the last line to marihuana que fumar. Which means
marihuana
smoke pot,
que fumar.
Which is your thing. So teach her that so she can relate to you.
Marihuana que fumar. Oh, maybe I'll have Rio add that in.
Shout out to our Spanish-speaking listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. One more thing about the game, then I'll get off the game for a second. But, and I know this is maybe getting in the weeds, and who knows if this will even stay out, but why did they take Snell out of the game? I mean, wasn't that a major managerial? I know facing top of the lineup.
I don't even think at this point, Oliver, and this is in the weeds, but I think it's kind of interesting. I think that is an organizational thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was determined before the game. Meaning,
really?
Snell's bad the third time through the lineup. We're leading 1-0. The number 9 hitter gets a hit, and now we're back to Betts and Seager, the next two hitters. Third time through the lineup, he's out. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to the bullpen. That's the clinical, cut-and-dried way of looking at it. But I have said this forever. And Smoltz, you know, he's old school. And it's hard for us. It's hard for me because I am now the old guy. I was doing my first World Series. I was 27. And the game was different back then. Now I'm 51. And that's the 23rd World Series I've done. And the game has moved and changed so much since then with the shifting, with the three true outcomes, which are walk, strikeout, or home run. That's what the game is based on now. Launch angle, spin rate, all these different. So it's become really analytically driven. And so you have all these teams have like a think tank in a, you know, LA Dodgers are famous for it. And it's driven a lot of the decisions over the years that Dave Roberts has had to make. They have a think tank that say, you know, they spit out a some sort of a matchup that they want. And it really doesn't matter how the guy is pitching. But at some point, this is sports, and you have to use your eyes. And so to all the world, and I think to Snell and to his teammates, they had to be going, oh, man, he's got his good stuff tonight. You know, don't do the formula. Don't, you know, let him go. Let him go because he was locked in. And now here it is. Number 9 hitter gets a hit. And Kevin Cash, the manager, who's awesome, a great guy, is the front man for that whole think tank. And they're saying, go get him. You know, we're going to our bullpen. Mm-hmm. We're going to the right-hander to face Betts. They go get him, and the thing implodes. That's where the game is. Mm-hmm. And that's why A-Rod tweeted whatever he tweeted about computers ruining the game or whatever he said.
I didn't know he did.
That's what that is.
I didn't know he tweeted that.
So is it in the weeds? Yes, but it is a fundamental shift. You know, baseball managers used to be the old, like, tobacco-chewing, crusty guys who would go, oh, let's do a squeeze play, or I don't feel like taking him out, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now it's driven by people that went to Ivy League schools and are really brilliant, and everybody's looking for an edge. You know, how can we make these numbers work for our team and get us in the most favorable matchups? And that's all that is. But that is so antiseptic. That's so eliminating the human element where this guy came out last night, Snell, and said, I am going to dominate this team. And they didn't let him. And that I think that's the frustration. If I'm a Tampa Bay Rays fan today, I go, God, I mean, what could have been? Now, that said, their lineup struck out at least 14 times. They put one run on the board, a one-out home run in the first inning, and didn't really threaten after that. Are they going to win the game 1-0? Probably not. So it does also fall back on the offense. You got to get more than one run. But it's just, it was a weird move at the time, but that's why they did it. There's a reason. You can like it or dislike it, but that's why.
Yeah. That was a great explanation. Maybe we should just end the show right there.
And send it into MLB Network.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that anybody listening to this, we came on to this talking about your jaundiced member, and now we're talking about analytics in baseball.
That's the beauty of daddy issues. These are all daddy issues. I don't think it's jaundiced, but it was floppy. And then we go from there to talking baseball. And then now we're moving on to your family, because you get to see them in a little
bit. Look at this. I've got all these things. I've got stuff that Michelle sent me that the boys made.
And you haven't seen them, right, in 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2.5 weeks. But here's the thing. I've been watching the show Away on Netflix. Hillary mm-hmm. Swank and Josh Charles.
I almost got that show.
Did you, for real?
Anyway, yeah.
Oh, man.
It was Josh Charles, and you know, he did, and he's awesome. But yeah, it was a good audition. I remember I walked out of there like, ooh, I did good on that one. It's very, that doesn't happen a lot when you walk out and you're like, ooh, shit, I think I just killed that. I might have a chance. And that was one of
what did they make you do? Like, when you do an audition, are they actually giving you script from the show and you're doing a piece of it?
Yeah, I did three scenes. I think I did three scenes that were in the show, you know, in the pilot.
Have you watched the whole show?
No, I know Stern really loved it, but it got canceled.
I know. I've known Josh through Ham, and I was like, oh my God, because at the last episode, I'm bawling crying in my bed. Like,
wow.
Yeah. But I'm an easy cry, man. We've said this. I'll cry at America's Got Talent. I'm going to cry at mm-hmm. what happens at the end of this expedition to Mars. But I texted him. I was like, man, tell me what it's like. You know, tell me this is coming back. And he's like, nope, one and done. It's like, oh, it's mm-hmm. really, it's really great. So my point is, this is a show about a woman, a couple. They're both astronauts. The mom of the young daughter has to leave on this mission where they're going to be gone for 3 years and be cut
and
off.
And might not come back.
Might not come right. back. And it's at the most critical time of her daughter's life as she's, you know, discovering boys and, you know, whatever. And she's gone for 3 years. So I can be gone for 2.5 weeks with FaceTime and we're going to be okay.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But, you know, it's nice to go home and you haven't been drinking.
I still haven't. I wanted to last night, but because of COVID, like everything's closed. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to wait until after my football game today as the show comes out on Thursday. And tonight on the flight home, I will crack open something as a celebratory, we did it.
Yay. And then you get to make love to your wife.
No, she'll be asleep.
Oh, well, eventually.
Eventually. At someday in the future. But tomorrow night when I get back at 1 a.m., you cannot, my wife, like I wake up if a fly farts two rooms away.
Yeah.
Michelle, yeah, me too. You do? You wake up?
No, I'm a very, very light sleeper.
Michelle could sleep through Armageddon.
Yeah.
It stuns me.
The movie?
The movie. It was kind of a snore. No, I mean, nothing wakes her up. Or maybe she just wants to play dead. But either way, it's pretty mm-hmm. consistent. She just doesn't wake up.
Yeah. Are you horny?
Not really. I'm tired. I'm tired.
Two weeks.
I just want to go to sleep. I want to get off this call, and I have so much reading to do. I've got two football games this week, so I got a lot of catching up to do, and I want to go to bed.
All right. Well, look, we got a half hour more
kidding.
Of this,
and I'll
let
happy.
You go.
I'm
it's
happy.
Fine. Well, I made love last night and this morning, too. I did a little twofer action.
No wonder.
It was great.
That thing looks dead.
Well, after I sent you that picture, it was like right when I went for it. The thing is, when we drank last night, we had a lot of beers and watched the game. It was really fun. And then we had a really fun night, you know, last night. And then when I wake up and I'm hungover, I'm horny. Hangovers make me horny, like big time. It's crazy.
How's that?
And if anyone else feels that, please write in. Yeah, I don't know. I wake up and I'm just all like charged up. I don't know.
When you're hungover, I would just want to die.
Yeah.
I want to just die. I don't want anybody to touch me. I just want to, like, my head hurts. I just want to, ugh.
No, I get all nutty and Erin hates it. She's just like, oh, God. She knows what she has to deal with the next morning. And she's just like, oh, please get off me. Please stop touching me. Because she's hungover too. And she's like you. She's like, doesn't want any piece of it. But I get all fired up. I get all fired up.
Well, good for you. It's good that you still got it.
Still got it, dude. Still got it. I wore my jailhouse suit last night.
Oh, which always well, that gets her going. I mean, that's it. Yeah.
No, it was great. And then we're out of here in 2 days, back to L.A., dragging the trailer, my big-ass trailer, back to L.A. Kids are excited. I'm not, you know.
Because they have friends? But how about that part?
They have friends there. We have friends here, too. But, you know, it's snow. It's getting cold. And I'm obsessed with golf, as you know, right now. And I can't play because there's snow on the ground. So there's a part of me that it's excited about getting back. And then just dealing with all this remote learning, I can't wait for them to be back in school because I feel like I'm in school. I really do. I'm constantly emailing teachers and figuring out work and, you know, getting upset at my kids as to why they're not doing shit and why they're blowing this off. Oh, it's nuts.
Yeah. Are you finding that you wouldn't be a good teacher because your patience would be just at its
oh yeah
end.
No, I just give them the answer. I'd be like, hey, okay, here's what it is, just write it down, let's go, I have a tea time.
I think that's the point of school. As a kid, I never read, and my grandma used to live with us, and my grandma was a voracious reader, and I made her like Hans Brinker and all these stupid books that they make you read when you're a kid, Johnny Tremaine, all that stuff. I made her read them, basically give me the mm-hmm. synopsis, and then I would write the report. I went through a lifetime of people doing my work for me.
Yeah, but see, that's smart. That's not being unintellectual. That's actually being, you're ahead of the game there. I think part of school is learning how to get by sometimes and going to your grandmother and manipulating her to read your book. You know, I mean, that's just part of being a kid, and that's why you're successful today.
Yeah.
John Smoltz does most of the work and you just sort of add a little color.
Right.
There.
I draft off the work of John Smoltz. I know you're right. You might be right on that. I might be coming around to your whole shtick about learning how to grift people. But I think I'm pretty good at it. Do you want to go through some of these?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Questions from listeners, from Kevin Mullage. M-U-L-L.
What is this, Kevin Malarkey?
If you had to be stuck at one age forever, what age would you choose?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a good question, because are we talking before kids or after kids? I mean, I can't imagine life without my children. I think right now, mid-40s, 44 years old. You know, life is really good. My kids are at a really perfect age. Erin and I are great. Sex is still phenomenal. You know, I mean, I'm still athletic enough, playing good golf. I can still run and mountain bike. It's pretty good. It's a pretty seasoned age right now.
I would probably take the age you're at right now, which is the time when I was just asking Michelle to marry me.
Mm-hmm.
But I then that would take out of the equation Blake and Wyatt. So I would never, ever want that. So I have to, yeah. I would have to take now, but I think personally,
all right.
Personally.
Yeah, let's go kids out. Take kids out of it. Second.
I would say yeah. Your age that you are right now would be my answer, which is 7 years mm-hmm. younger than me.
Your wife just texted.
I know.
What'd she say? Maybe that's the next.
She doesn't know we're doing this right now.
Yeah, but this is the next question. Let's see, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, I was drunk and sent you pictures last night.
Yeah. Of you on the toilet.
Yeah.
With your...
I forgot about that.
With your Silence of the Lambs tuck-in job. As you're like, where is your moth collection in that house? You look like... Let me just hear you one time say, put the lotion in the basket.
Put the fucking lotion in the basket. Put the lotion in the basket.
Oh, wait. Was she a really big fat person?
Was she a big fat person?
Oh, that's good. There. Nailed it. God, you're a mess. All right. There's the answer to that question.
Did Michelle like it?
Did she? No, I don't know. I haven't talked to her yet.
Okay, she just texted us.
She just texted both of us, and I sent yeah. the picture of the guy from Silence of the Lambs back. She said that's exactly what I would have sent, but I didn't want to wake you because when she texts me, my phone makes a sound. Whenever anybody else texts me, it doesn't make a sound. So she knew it would wake me up because I don't sleep deeply as opposed to her. Back to what we just talked about. From Nikki Gina. Tell each other what you love and admire most about each other and why.
That's cute. I love your work ethic. Your ability to love and to actually have a second family, which is a hard ass thing to do at your age. And I love your loyalty to our friendship.
That's very nice. That's sweet.
I
you know why I love Oliver Hudson. You are everything I'm not and everything I'm jealous of and I wish I could be. I know that you will live longer than me because my stress level is way too high. I love your joie de vivre. And for those of us who don't speak French, myself included, your joy of life and the way you're fiercely loyal. And I think you are a great parent, a cool parent, somebody that connects with their children and somebody who I sent you this the other day when I was coming back from the game. And I don't say this to earn points with anyone, especially Michelle, but I honestly feel like of all the men I know, you and I are the two most happily married men that I've come across. Yeah.
I concur.
And that's not taking anything away from anyone else. I just feel like you would rather be with Aaron over anybody else, and I'd rather be with Michelle over anybody else other than my kids. They're not in the equation, and that's what I love about you, that you are a guy who, you know, you'll go to the mat for people that are in your camp, and I think you're a great dad and a great husband, and I think that's the best thing you can say about somebody.
Well, thank you, Joe. That was beautiful.
You're welcome, and I mean it. As parents, what is some? This is from Chandler Randler. Interesting. As parents, what is something?
Wait a minute. Is that for real, Chandler Randler?
It's either at Chandler Randler. Depends on where you put the break in the back word there, or it's at Chan Deary Lander. It's Chandler Randler. There's no way it's anything else.
Wow. Their parents were like, I got a good idea when he was born.
Your name is Chandler Randler.
All right, go ahead.
As parents, what is something that one or all of your kids did that you are most proud of? What are you most proud of that your kids have done?
Well, it's not one specific thing. It's just who they are. They're being good people. The best thing that I can hear as a parent is when someone comes up to you who you don't know and says, I just want to say your kids are amazing and they're kind and they're sweet and they're polite. Those are the things that get me going. That makes me feel great. I never understood parental pride because when I was young and my parents would say that to me, you know, I'm proud of you. And when people come up to me and say, you're such great kids, that makes me feel so good. I'm like, whatever. I understand that now. So that's what I'm most proud of is the pleases and the thank yous and the looking in the eye when they're talking to people and them engaging. And that's what it is. That's it.
Yeah, I would say the same about my own. I'm proud that Natalie is doing things in a tough time for actors and actually booking work and really kind of finding her voice in this whole thing. And I've sent you some stuff that she's done, and she's she blows
that short
me
look
away.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it's. I think it's going to be great. Called
her voiceover. I mean, she sounds. I didn't get to see a lot of her, but
yeah,
she sounds in it.
Knows how to read it. You know, she knows how to pause and deliver lines. So I mean, she's good. And then Trudy, Natalie's got the biggest heart of anybody I know. Trudy is the same, but she's so driven. It almost scares me. She is really stressed and takes on a lot of unnecessary angst about work. She's always been a self-starter. Mm-hmm. I never helped her one time with her homework. She always got straight A's. She was the kid that when you'd go to the parent-teacher conferences, the teachers were like, more than one time the teacher said Trudy could babysit the other kids in this class.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's about the best thing you can say about a fifth grader. She's just always been on another level with her dedication, and she's a reader and she gives me book recommendations. I mean, she blows me away too. And then the other ones are 2.5, so they don't really, they're just sweet, cute.
No, you're proud that they took a shit in the toilet.
Yeah, that hasn't happened yet. So,
how is their potty train? How's their potty training going? I mean, are they?
We're so
do they
lazy
pee
on
now.
That? We're just.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they will pee in the toilet, but they still wear pull-ups.
How old are they now?
2.5. Exactly 2.5. So it's time.
18 months, my boys were out of diapers. Not at night, in the daytime.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Aren't you the best?
I am. I'm dedicated to potty training.
How about, there's trivia questions on here for me to ask you.
Okay, I love it.
What do married men do twice as often as single men?
Is this like a joke?
No.
What the married men?
This is almost, you're too young to really remember how, well, they redid it. Hollywood Squares. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. I used to love Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, but the original.
Oh, Paul.
Paul Lynn.
Paul Lynn, right, yeah.
In the middle, like that.
Hey!
okay, I'm going to answer this as
masturbate.
That's a great answer. That's not the correct answer.
Change their underwear.
That's what it is.
Wait, change the underwear. Married men change their underwear twice as much as single men.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Do you change your underwear if you don't shower? I don't change my underwear if I'm not showering. Like if I go a day or two without a shower, those underwear are staying on.
Oh my God. That's why that's just so your bohemian weird stink lifestyle. What West Coast state allows marriage between first cousins?
I feel like we're looking at an Oregon or like a Washington state.
I like where your mind is, but the answer is California.
Whoa, really?
Yes. Do you have any hot first cousins that you might want to leave Aaron for?
Wow, you can marry your first cousin?
Yeah, wouldn't you think that was like a Southern thing only?
Yeah,
California.
Very progressive.
The average married couple has sex how many times a year?
Ooh. Average married couple once a week, probably 52. So I'd probably give it a little less. I'm going to say 48.
68 and a half times a year. And a half?
Wow. What is the half?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, God, the kids are in the room.
The kids are. That's exactly what I thought. The kids come in. Wow, that's pretty good.
A child should be how many years old to safely sit in the front seat of a car?
Oh, God, I'm so bad. My kids have been like sitting in cars without boosters.
You might not even want to say any of this on tape.
well, it's a weight thing usually, but it was 10. They just changed it in California, but it was like 10 or 11 or 12. I don't know. What is it?
The real answer is 13.
Okay.
Have you broken any laws, Oliver?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, my kids have always sat in car seats when they were infants and babies and stuff. But, you know, nowadays they just sit with seatbelts. Wilder's 13 sits in the front, but he's been sitting in the front for a couple years now. You know, I look, if you want to come arrest me because of this, then go for it. There's bigger things, you know.
You can barricade yourself inside Sheriff Joe's compound. He'll never give you up.
No way.
Never gonna give you up. What did Socrates?
Never gonna lift you down. That's a great song.
What did
never
Socrates?
Never gonna play around and desert you. Never gonna say goodbye.
You know, I was
never
up last night until 2 a.m. watching a documentary. The whatever it is, Laurel Canyon. The music. Documentary that Jacob Dylan did about all the music scene in the 60s in Laurel Canyon.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Good?
I think it's good, yeah. And they do a lot of, you know, covers of those songs. Jacob Dylan is in all of them. Beck, who I love, is in a lot of them.
That's a song I'm going to cover
Fiona
for
Apple.
You for your birthday.
Yes.
Yeah, I was listening to it.
Betty?
Just to get it.
Isn't that,
yeah.
Isn't that what it is? It's great.
Yeah.
It's so you.
Zabba you! For the six fingers.
Yes. Yeah. What did Socrates, Aristotle, and Janis Joplin have in common?
They all died at 26.
That is wrong. They were bisexuals, is what it says here.
Oh.
Who knew that?
Okay.
I mean, Socrates and Aristotle. I didn't know that about Janis Joplin, but, you know, that was part of the music scene.
That was part of the culture, yeah, yeah. I knew Socrates and Aristotle were bisexual.
What if I just read that question and I said, what did Socrates, Aristotle, and Janis Joplin have in common?
I would have not corrected you.
Yeah.
Any more
okay,
goodies?
Here's a review. Yeah, now here's a review. I'm into this podcast, though I was convinced this was an April Fool's joke initially. I was not familiar with Joe at all prior, but I'm very happy to see people are giving him positive feedback for once. Go Joe. I really like Oliver. He's the right amount of weird and funny, but cool in his own way. This review is love of a journal entry. I think more should be. Is more of a journal entry than a review, but here it is anyway. That is from Margot Legacy.
Is it Margot? Maybe it's Margot, our producer.
Could be. This one is from, I'll just blow it up so I can see it. Trujillo Tango.
Mm.
Oliver Hudson is sneaky funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, baby. Sneaky funny. I come off as serious, people think I'm very serious.
Yeah, nobody. I don't know how anybody could not take you as totally serious.
I'm sneaky.
Here's
funny,
Aaron,
baby.
Son. Keep it up. I look forward to this pod every week. Your literal and figurative voices are so excellent. It's made me really love and appreciate Joe Buck more, and my stock has gone way down on Oliver Hudson. Just kidding. You're both great.
This has done wonders for you and your public persona.
I know.
You know,
think of all the tens of people that are changing their opinions of what they thought I was, like, this stiff. And mm-hmm. You know,
no,
look
not
at this.
Anymore, Joe.
Look at me fly.
Look at you fly. All right. Well, I can't wait to see you at some point. And you got a couple more games left, and you can go home, relax. But when are we going to hang out?
I'll be in LA middle of November.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Rams or something?
Rams, yes. So we will get together then. We will play the golf. Play the golf.
Play the golf.
My wife.
Play the golf. My wife plays golf.
My wife
plays. My wife. Cinque.
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 That's how we're going to say goodbye.
Say
in
goodbye.
Boring voices.
Cinque.
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 Goodbye.
Goodbye.